Thank you for listening to Black Women Are Scary, the podcast that celebrates people of color writing horror. This month, we're doing something special with a flash fiction frenzy. Each week, we'll feature a new guest, talk about the season, and share short, spooky stories. Today, I'm talking to authors and podcasters Ryan, aka Brother Ghoulish, and Sheree of Nightmare on Fear Street. So let's lean in and listen to some scary black people. I'm not going to have this in the, don't worry, I'll edit all of this out. Because I was like, I don't know, this isn't even what we were talking about. I went to speak about this season with you, and in particular, this theme, land and place, which might actually dovetail fine into what we're saying right now. I'm like, where is your place? Where is your land? And I think the initial question I had was like, what is the role land and place plays in horror? But like, fuck that. What is the role that land and place plays in horror written and made by BIPOC folks that you've noticed, because both of you both write and you review and you're looking at a lot of content and you look at a lot of stuff that's made by people of color. So do you see any kind of, this is a recurring pattern or, you know, or way that like folks who have had to be on the receiving end of colonialism, right? Like how they tackle land and place when in this genre.
Yes. Yeah. I think land and place is always number one, even if the person isn't actively making that a thing. Because like a lot of the times when I see stuff that gets created by Black people for Black people without like people meddling and intervening, there's always that sense of uncomfortability because this is not our land. This is not where we were at. We were brought here. And the systems remind us of that all the fucking time. And so like when you look at like something like Get Out, and how like he's taken to this like white family's land and this white family's home, and they're just like, we love experiencing other cultures. that kind of stuff settles because like it's so accurate and it's so true. So I think of all the times I've had to like go somewhere and I'm the only Black person, and I'm just like, this is not comfortable. This is very much the colonizers' favorite spots, and I need to like back the fuck out.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like when I think of land and place, it's hard for me to think of anything but the word home. And I think being in the diaspora is so strange because the concept of home is like, I mean, it's really, I don't even know what the right word is. It's complicated because we weren't asked to bring here. We weren't asked to be brought here in the first place. And the home that we tried to make, it's like it's always being attacked by outside sources. And I think that's why the diaspora and trying to figure out like what our culture is and what our identity is has always been kind of weird. And even like so many people have made statements about how sometimes African-Americans and Africans have like a weird relationship because of how our cultures are so vastly different, understandably so. But what is the diaspora and Black person's idea of home? Like, what does it really look like? And as we're trying to like define it for ourselves, I think it's like, I don't know about for other people, but for me, it feels like sometimes we're getting like a lower start. It's like we're all sitting on the ramparts and everybody else is running, developing their cultures uninterrupted and shit. And then as we're trying to foster ours, it's people just with these microscopes, just like picking out every little thing that we're trying to use in our identity to build ourselves up. And then to make matters worse, it's like, some people are kind of like allowed to try something, for example, and decide, oh, this doesn't really fit me. But I kind of feel like we don't really get that luxury oftentimes. And then it gets even more harder if you start throwing in other things. So like for me, it would be like being a queer person. Like when you start to throw in those other things, it makes it even more tricky because you say something and you have to commit to it. You can't experiment. Everything that you touch has to become the whole of your identity. And it's just ridiculous. Like, you know, and the idea of like reparations and stuff, I guess, was supposed to be like an equalizer for that. I mean, it's not like we receive the shit anyway, but it's like that's not going to happen. And I don't even believe reparations would even fix the issue completely because I don't know. It's the whole thing. I didn't mean to go on a whole rant, but like,
no, I mean, it's a touchy subject. You know, like I chose that theme because of the anthologies that I was working with, and it had very much to do with land, place, climate. And because of that, you know, we produced short stories that don't necessarily even fall, like they're not listed under horror, but like, you know, I was talking to Akeem Alexis, who is the featured author, you know, April's featured author, and with his story, The Lexicographer on One Tree Island, it doesn't even sound like it's scary, you know? But I put that in there because I was like, the whole island goes underwater. There's a rapture. Like, he watches everybody drown or leave. That, how was that? And he was like, you know, if my short story were a film, it would be considered a disaster movie. And no one ever thinks about the horror in disaster. Like, and like, hello, that's terrifying. And so I'm not surprised that, you know, he's a Caribbean writer, and it's like, this is terrifying to me. And we, you know, we talked about like the various like genres that this story has been put in, and like, what would you put it in, you know, like, as you, and I find this coming up a lot with writers, with just anybody BIPOC, like it's indigenous, you know, we've done Southeast Asian, we've done Asian, we've done African American, we've done Latino, like, or Latinx, all of it, it's like, yeah, it's not really this, or the people say that it's that, or, you know, like, it has to be categorized under that. And it's like, yeah, because like, when it comes to horror, if you're somebody who's been displaced, if you're somebody who's been taken from and shoved someplace else, if you're somebody who's living in exile, your definition of what's terrifying is so different from someone who can just come through and claim that shit is theirs, right? And right now, like, so much of the horror and so much, you know, so much of that has been defined by a group of people who have been a horror for a lot of other folks on the planet. You know, like, ancestrally, it gets back to this whole, my whole like reason for doing this is just like, we need to have more voices in this genre, because if you only have one voice defining what is scary, that's scary.
Yeah, like, agree.
And that's one of my issues with like categories and labels, because like, I remember as a kid, after you find out how this country came to be and you find out how slavery was, like, you have a journey. And I was like, I don't like the phrase African-American, because I've never been to Africa. I probably won't ever get to go. And like, America is not real. Like, the people who took this land and started calling it America don't really own this land. And so I think I just want to be Black. And of course, because like, that's not what white people were calling us back then. It was African-American. That was a scandal. And I feel that same sort of like, how dare you, whenever white people come up with new words for other people's cultures and identities, because it's always them. They're the ones who are like, let's start saying unhoused, but not take care of this problem that is all these people on the streets. They're the ones who are like, let's put an X in women to make it more inclusive for everybody. And the non-binary people are like, no. And they're like, but we're doing it for you. And so like, we keep having the same 51st date because white people keep leading the charges for things they shouldn't be talking about. They need to just sort of sit down and be like, we fucked up enough. How do y'all feel? What should we be saying and doing for you? But instead we get like, think people, oh my God, going back to like horror, because to tie back in.
Yeah. And I don't want it to be like a whole like, white people are the worst, because I really just want to focus on like land and place. And, you know, like when it is people of color writing it, I just think it plays a different role. And I started to like really think about the films like His House, or like you said, Get Out, or like Blood Quantum, and just like the difference.
Nanny.
With this, like, just, I haven't seen that one yet, but yeah, like just like the difference because of either a connection to or a displacement from, that is so recent, like it's a fresh wound, right? In particular in Blood Quantum, where, I mean, land and place in that, it's like, it's their reservation. Their reservation, which was like a place to be exiled, then becomes the only haven on earth, right? Like just the switching of that, and like, how do we uphold that, and who do we allow in, and how do we feel about that? And like all of the emotional things like that the zombies weren't even the scariest part of that movie.
Yeah.
Right. So like, and most of his work, you know, rest in power, Jeff Barnamy. You know, because I saw Rhymes for Young Ghouls, like that one with the horror was just the actual reality of the residential schools. Like didn't even add anything supernatural. He was just like, look at this. And I was like, this is terrible. You know, like it was scary enough. Just him telling me the truth. So like, you just facts. This is my story. And I, you know, so just like the difference in that, and then the role that it plays, like versus like, yeah, like even like The Conjuring, I love The Conjuring, but like, you know, they could leave. The difference between that and his house, like they can't leave. And there's this harrowing tale. And again, half of the horror is just them getting to this house. And by the end of it, you're like, I don't even know if this place was haunted. And these people might just be like suffering, which I thought was the genius of that film. Whereas The Conjuring, I absolutely know that it was a demon.
Yes. Yeah. And my other thing is when it's, so I'm going to rewind. Horror is anything that scares us. That's horror, which by the umbrella is bigger than people want to give it credit for. Mm. And so what I love to see when Black people enter the space is because we do have that like feeling of displacement and that feeling of not belonging and that feeling of not being wanted, because like every day is Microaggression Monday for us. And so I love how those things add layers to these stories that we've been seeing forever that make them interesting again. Because like, for instance, again, The Conjuring, yeah, they got a demon, but yeah, also they could have left these houses. They could have done other things. Whereas in his house, if they leave that house, they're being deported back to the place they just escaped. And they went through a lot of shit to escape that place. So it's not a good place. And so
yeah, like, the horror starts in like a war zone. So it doesn't even start like a horror movie. Like you're just like, oh, this is a documentary.
Right? And it makes the poor people in like The Conjuring 2 look quaint. And I as a poor, being poor is not quaint, but I'm just like, these are small problems compared to what they just did and what they had to go through and the things they did to get into this house, which is not a good house, not a good environment. And they're being mistreated by other Black people who are making fun of them for having accents. Yeah. And being mistreated by like the white people because they're racist. But again, they are actually trapped there. They literally cannot go. And that makes that exciting. And it makes it make sense. I don't spend the movie judging them, being like, just leave. Because like when I see Amityville, I'm just like, just leave. Just
well, I will
leave.
Say, just because I'm a James Wan fan, like, I thought The Conjuring was great in the sense that, like, they did try to leave, and they're like, this thing is attached to you. So it's specific to you. So this is the house. This house is, like, the hill we're going to die on. Like, they just, like, decided to, like, you know what I mean? Because they're like, you can go anywhere you want. This thing's going to follow you. I felt like the writer for that was like, we have to have a good reason. We can't just make a movie about a white family that stays in a house for no reason, because people are going to get mad.
That first one just took the landing, but like that second one where she was like, I made a Ouija board to find some demons. I was like, this is y'all bringing in shit to y'all's own homes. Y'all was fine.
Yeah, they could have moved out.
Listen.
Wasn't that what the spirit was saying all the time?
Yeah, just like, the leave. Spirit was like, get out. And they're like, no. And I was like, if a spirit tells me to get out, I'm getting out.
Yeah, you could have gone.
Listen, and so that's why after the first Conjuring, I'm like, y'all are choosing these demons.
That's like a whole other thing to unpack. Sorry, we keep interrupting you, Brother Ghoulish.
Oh no, it's fine. I'm awkward. I was like, I think that's what I like about Letty's house in Lovecraft Country, because when they got into the space, it was definitely a space where they were not wanted. And I was nervous instantly for all the obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But, you know, she set down her roots. And just like a lot of the Black people in my own family did, coming into very, you know, sketchy situations, they took those lemons and just made it into lemonade. Like, she bruised, she got the house nice and cute. They definitely created a space for them. And they fought back. Because what I like about that, like, whole thing is that fighting back wasn't just against, like, obviously the white people who didn't want them there, which is very obvious, but also against the supernatural forces that were working against them. And in doing so, they did it in a way that is really true to African spirituality, because they partnered with the spirits that were also done dirty that were in the house. Mm. So like, they were in the basement.
Yeah, that exorcism scene was fire.
I loved it. Like, everything about the handling of that piece, I mean, there were some other suspect parts, but we're just focusing on Letty's house. I definitely respected that, because Land and Place was something that it was hard to get to, but they fought for it. And I respect the fuck out of that.
I love that you brought up Lovecraft Country, because I too have complicated feelings with that show, but for the most part was a fan for the most part. Yes, yeah. But one of the things that I got me excited for it is that they were reclaiming something from a very racist history. And so I'm just like, you just colonized a colonizer. I'm on board.
I
love that because again, like that Misha Green and that team took space in a world that wouldn't give us space because like even when you look at Lovecraft's stuff, he was high key racist, which is why he's popular. Yeah. That's just all there is to it. That's that song. And so like they were like, if you won't let us be here, we're just gonna like do it the way it could have been done and show you what all could have happened. It could have been there. And that razzle dazzle just it elevated it because I'm not a Lovecraft girl. I know people love to sit here and be like, well, tentacle monsters are because of him. Fuck it. I can put tentacles on anything. Tentacles can go on anything. I'll put it on this glass right now and it'll dance. We don't need a racist to give us a tentacle monster.
Like, also, I don't know if that's true because I feel like I'm pretty sure Asia cornered tentacled monsters before love, before before that. I mean, come on now.
What we talk about, like, reclaiming it, that's what I liked about Victor LaValle's book, The Ballad of Black Tom, as well. Mm. Like, this reclamation of this very, extremely racist man. Because, like, Lovecraft wasn't even, like, you know how people try to be like, oh, it was a spirit of the time. It's like, no, this man was so racist that even writers around that time were like, whoa, dude, you need to chill. Like, it was just, you can't even hide it. You can't even around, like, the weird stuff, even the way that he portrayed, like, Middle Eastern, like, characters and the stories and stuff was just very racist. He's a very racist, just grossness with it. I know that wasn't
why is he so beloved? Like, I've never read any of his work.
People love to excuse racism and fatphobia and sexism and be like, well, you know, nobody's perfect. Like, whenever I get salty about Marky Mark and getting something, because he's a known racist, people are like, if we all have to answer what we did at 16, we're all going to go to jail. And I'm like, if you also beat up Asian men, you should go to jail. Yeah. So if you're owning that, please own that so I can call the authorities. Because, like, me having a tantrum at 16 because my jeans didn't fit or somebody didn't call me back is different from, like, blinding an Asian man. It's just different. But here he is, and he's an actor, and he's giving awards out to people in, from Everything Everywhere All at Once, which is gross. And nobody wants to have that conversation because it's just like, it's not polite. We don't say these things out loud. And I'm just like, real talk is real, y'all. I don't know why you're dodging this. Like, if this is your king, you've picked the wrong hill to die on.
Also, oh my God, if this is your king, just made me think of Michael B. Jordan. Is this your king? And so to just bring it back to horror and people of color in horror, like, I do feel this is why this space is so wonderful, because it is a place where you could air that dirty laundry, you know, like, you could have that person, that character, and people doing this, like, you can tell this story in a way that, you know, it's very difficult to do in real life because of money. And of course, kind of going back to what we were talking about at the very top of this, was the hoarding of resources. You know, it's like, that's real. And you have to be polite sometimes to people who have done, like, some pretty egregious things because they have stuff. Because they have. And they're essentially holding folks hostage in a way. But I do feel like this particular genre is how you can, at the very least, like, I don't know if, like, exercise is the word, but, like, that release it. Release, like let the air out, you know? And we need that. We really need to let the air out because it's just, we're just going to blow. Like, I can feel that. I feel like everybody can feel that, of, like, imploding and exploding happening all the time.
All the time. All the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
And so the genre is popular, right? Like, the genre is now full swing every month of the year. It's no longer been quarantined to even October. Yeah. Nobody wants that anymore. And, like, you mentioned Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like, that's not horror, but that is a genre film that won an Academy Award. I mean, like, Jamie Lee Curtis, we all know, like, that's a horror queen. And she's like, we just won that was what she said. She was like, we just won an Academy Award. Like, people are so ready to go into the magical and so ready to see see all the different kinds of folks. I think whether you are of a community or outside of it, like, it's exciting for you because you just want to see yourself. You want to see your friends. And I think we're just done with the way we're doing things here. And so we're like, let's just like imagine new spaces and play in them for a minute and see if we like it. I'm not Asian American and I loved Everywhere. Like, I didn't need to be to watch that movie. You know, I don't need to be Asian American to enjoy Beef. That show, I'm watching it right now. It's freaking awesome. Like, people, you know, so it's again getting off topic, but like, maybe not, you know, it's also like, who inhabits the land and space? Who do we, and challenging, like, who you think belongs there?
Yeah, and I think that is key, especially if you're looking at land and place and who belongs there, and also how we talk about the genre. Because again, this horror umbrella is huge. It's massive. There's so many subgenres under there. And yet the goalposts move if it's not an all-white cast. Because, like, I think there's an argument to be made for, because again, horror was made Mary Shelley, Frankenstein, so it's always infused with sci-fi. And so I think that we should stop just being like, well, it's sci-fi, it can't be here. But like, that was the white people's go-to for that movie. It's like, it's sci-fi, it's not horror. And I'm just like, she is literally coming to terms with multiple versions of herself from multiple universes. I don't know if we can just be so clear and cut and clinical with that one. I think it needs a conversation. And there's so many other sci-fi movies with not all white cast that I also think need to be revisited, because like, until like the, maybe the 80s, no, it was the 70s, because before the 70s, it was like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, it's a horror movie, Making the Body Snatchers, a horror movie, all these like aliens and Attack of the 50-Foot Women, horror, horror, horror. Nobody was like, is it separate? I don't know. And then like, we were like, what if Ripley is a woman in space and no one could hear you scream? And the film bros are like, it can't be horror. Meanwhile, Predator rolls out, and it's Arnold Schwarzenegger doing the same thing, but on land and with more guns, and nobody's like, oh, it's not a horror movie. It's on a horror list every year for Halloween, and I'm just like, what's different about it?
That's a good point. That is a good point, and I remember, because I'm such a huge Aliens fan, they did not want Sigourney Weaver. They wanted, like, James Cameron really had to, like, fight for that, you know, for what is now, like, so iconic, like Lieutenant Ripley. And I'm like, who... You know, when you watch that ending scene for Aliens, again, like, now we're getting into like, yeah, who land and place and who belongs there. When you watch that ending scene of Aliens where she's in the nest with the queen, how would that even work if it had been played by a man? Listen. How would that, that was clearly a conversation between two women. Like, this is, that's what that second film boils down to. It's two women fighting to the death for the right of their species to live. This is about creation. It's a conversation that can only happen between two bodies that can be, can pro, you know, like, reproduce. Yes.
And it also escalates the conversation of the alien being inside a person that doesn't want it in there, because this country's always like, fuck you women, you have to have these babies, no birth control, no abortions. And so like, I think that adds a certain layer to that story that wouldn't have been there had it been Arnold Schwarzenegger in space trying not to get impregnated by an alien. Like, it's like, okay, Arnold, cool, do whatever you're gonna do. But I think that when you have like a woman at the helm, and like, as a woman, I'm just every day, I'm just like, the Supreme Court don't care. The Supreme Court is letting me know they don't care about all of my identities. And then have her in space being like, these things are implanting themselves in us and exploding outwards. Yeah. And like, even when they get to cloning her without her consent, because like, she was dead. So of course, like, she can't be like, I'm not into this. Let me be dead forever. I think that the journey that Ripley goes on in that universe is iconic because it is a woman, and because of what we know a society feels about women and how we are always mistreated here. And so like,
Definitely the theme of impregnation lands differently. Like, I try to imagine this whole thing, again, like, thinking about the stuff that I've read where they're like, we didn't want Sigourney Weaver. And it's like, so who was hot then? Bruce Willis, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold, like, and then so I'm thinking of these guys, you know, like, one of them inhabiting Lieutenant Ripley, and how that would have been so different. We even really thought about like impregnation and the way, like, that kind of sense of invasion of, you know, like, that kind of rape, for lack of a better, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know that I would have even gone there if it had been played by a man.
And it follows up to today, because we're still getting stuff similar to that. Like, when I'm, because I just watched The Baby last year.
That show was so fantastic.
The episode where they made her have that child she did not want to have, he like snatched her and was like, no, you're going to have this kid. And she's like, I don't want it. And they just sort of watched her wither away and die. like I feel like there's a direct line from Alien and the things that happen between that are similar to that show, and we wouldn't get that had we had Arnold Schwarzenegger in space popping the mother alien in the face. What?
It slipped my mind. Y'all can keep going. My bad.
And so then moving into the second question, which was like, what role does Land and Place play in your work, if any?
You go first, Ryan, because I'm just on rants today. I don't know what was in my little water.
I may have to like cut some of it out so people aren't like, this podcast is angry. or maybe I'll leave it in and just be like, yeah, sometimes we're angry. Mm-hmm. Black women are scary.
Listen.
I feel like for Land and Place for me, like I was saying at the top of the episode, when I think about Land or Place, the first thing that comes to mind is definitely home. But I also think of abstractions of Land or Place. So what I mean by that is like the internet. Because I didn't really get too much of a fair shake at community in certain circles in IRL because of things that, you know, I'll say for therapy. But I will say that the internet became kind of like a safe space for me. So it almost was like an extension of home or like land or a place or like where I could find tribe or identity. So that shows up in my work quite a bit because I don't like to just stay in one like idea of a concept. So if I hear land or place, sometimes I do try to challenge like, what could this look like outside like the physical obvious kind of glance at it. And also I think about Darkly by Lila Taylor because excellence. I feel like I talk about this book too much. Anyone who's ever heard me I think might be a little irritated, but I just love that she talks about how in the United States of America, how Native Americans and people of color just in general have been done so bad. So if we think about the United States of America as like a home, then it would be haunted by people of color, you know, because there's just so much that when you think about like the haunted house trope, you think about haunted houses, they don't start that way. They're homes for people, but then something traumatic happens to them and that pain soaks into the walls. And that's kind of like the bed of a haunting. And I just loved her take on that. And that's why I always suggest Darkly to people, just generally speaking. But I like to kind of like look into stuff like that when thinking about, you know, the research that I do into what, you know, drives my stories and the things that, you know, I want to create.
I love that you brought up the internet as a place, as like as tangible as if we went, you know, to Texas. That it is like, do you know what I mean? That it is a place, that it is, and that it is a place that where you can find, like you said, community and find your tribe, that it's not just kind of like, it's more than just information, you know, the singularity has happened. And going back to the whole, is it horror, is it sci-fi, the amount of like Black Mirror, really, you know, getting into tech and getting into the way that builds community, the way that you can find love, like the episodes that they had that were happy, where people were like in cyber places and they found love. But in particular, what you're saying about like, as a person of color, or as a person who has like intersectional, like whether you're like Black and queer and these things, like this is the one place where you are safe because you can be incorporeal. And so you can be like everywhere and nowhere, and how that is so much like your lived experience too. You are from here, but you're not, you're everywhere and sort of nowhere. You know, we get back to the movie that we're talking about, Everywhere All at Once, like that is actually kind of what's happening all the time. It's all these different versions of you, all these different versions that you could put on to survive in these different spaces. And I do wonder, I think about that in like some of the storytelling of the way the like spiritual and the metaphysical will be very present and be a very real place in some of the horror. Like if you think of La Llorona, the one that was from Guatemala, like she was there and she wasn't there. They were constantly moving through time. They were in the past while they were in the present, and things were happening that were like influenced by like this memory that they were in. And all of that is like one, like that was a real place. Like she would take them back to the fields where this horrible thing happened, and it was real for them, you know? And how often I see that, where also that one, Tigers Are Not Afraid, that's another good one, where it's like the ethereal, this kind of like other space, the idea of another space just being right here and being integrated into yours. And I remember even looking at some of the comments and people being like, I don't think this is really a horror film, but it's wonderful. And I'm like, you don't think it's a horror film because again, it's not in this like very like kind of like square box. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's like, well, it's macabre, you know, you can say that. So I kind of feel like it's like that space where Guillermo del Toro lives, where it's like, it's beautiful and it's wonderful and it's here and it's there and there's doorways and it's fine. I don't know if we've seen yet, like Black people on like The Net. You remember The Net with Sandra Bullock? Like, we haven't seen like a version of that with like Black and brown people. But I do wonder what the role of spirituality and God would play if we started making, you know, things that had to do with cyberspace.
Yeah, because like it, especially for those of us who are not boomers, because like we've got the market cornered. Like all three of us here mostly live online. All the things we are doing are mostly online. That's our work, that's our hobbies, that's our habits, because we're watching content, we're creating content, we are moving in social media networks, and we are now colleagues of people we have no business talking to as if we're in the same office. Like it's so wild. And it's also really cool because like I have an option I don't have in the real world, where if somebody gets out of pocket, I can just block them, which I do very liberally. Whereas when I was working at like Lyric Opera of Chicago or like IU in Indiana, it was like, this racistness is happening to me and I have to just sort of take it because I can't just pop off. It's not polite. I need this job. I have to quit in 2 weeks. And that's not the same anymore. We can just be like, oh no, you tried it, goodbye. And we can alert everybody else who can see it and be like, I don't want that person in my sphere either. And so it kind of is like Black Mirror in the cool way.
Yeah. And you are seeing more of, you know, internet presence and using tech being just more intertwined in a lot of horror storytelling. Like there's been a couple of attempts at like the demon is in the internet. Some I think are good and some I'm kind of like, I don't know. Like, but you know, we're still messing around with it, but definitely just like people communicating via text and even just like explaining why they aren't using their phones. Like I feel like it took forever for 4 movies to just explain the fact that like you could have just called somebody. Like you are connected to the world. Like you've written in a scene where everybody's phone got like blown up and then we're like, okay.
Bodies. I love that. Have you seen it yet?
I've not seen that one yet. I'm so late to things. Sorry.
I don't want to give too much away, but all these rich kids are like, hurricane season, let's go party at my rich parents' house. So of course the hurricane's like, you can't have your phones here yet, dummies. And so like, it's the smoothest get rid of the phones and get into the action I've seen in so long. Because again, we have our smartphones now. And so you can't just be like, we're going to have to go over to Ted's house and check on him. It's like, no, just text him. So many movies have people whipping out phones, texting people left and right. Even the new screens are just like, how do we handle this now that like the technology needs to catch up to what our killers are trying to do? Because it's always ring, ring, what's your favorite scary movie? But like people are smart now. They have all these things on their phone. They have all these apps. They can track you in 12 seconds. And so like the killers have to get smarter as the franchise keeps growing.
Yeah. And I have appreciated the you know, like Host, I thought was so clever.
Yeah.
Of just like, oh, we did this because we were in a virtual, you know, and it's just the way they actually used Zoom. I was like, this is some smart storytelling. So you have people doing the thing. Now we're getting off track again. Land and Place. You didn't talk about Land and Place in your work, did you? You like threw Brother Goulish under the bus. You're like, you answer first. And then
I think that Land and Place is something that I subconsciously write about because it's not something I sit down and do, but like I've noticed that a lot of my stories end up being in places I've lived and I move around a lot. And so I feel like it's my way of grappling with some of the things that happened in these areas, because like my thesis play was set in Kansas City, but I did not go to my grad school in Kansas City where I had to write that shit. But it was definitely like student loans and a writer and all this stress and being like impoverished and having to like do the best. And all your friends are just like, why don't you just do better? Because their parents are paying for shit and mine were not, and my characters was not. And like, I think about like some of my other stuff that's also set in like random places I've lived or places similar to places I've lived. I think that land and place does creep in with a meaning, even if we don't think it does. So I'm loving this conversation because I think I'm about to start writing something, and I was not having this conversation with myself that I am now. And I think that when I adapt the thing I think I'm going to adapt, it's going to have a little bit more context and texture because of this recording today. So thank you for this accidental research.
No, thank you. I have not also thought about land and place. And then in asking you guys these questions and being and forcing myself to answer these questions, I'm like, oh, everything I write is actually about is about that. And so I've just been playing myself this whole time. I'm writing about place all the time. I look back now and I'm like, oh, most of that is place. Holy crap. So, you know, like right now, the film that I'm developing, you know, I was talking about the pre-production, is called Affordable Housing. And it is about two women who fight a monster, a scary monster, to keep their cheap apartment. It is all about place. It's entirely about like, you know, I wanted to talk about housing crisis in a way that was fun. And in a way that it was kind of like, this is just what it feels like. This isn't literal. Like, it's really a creature feature, you know, it's just like fun monsters. But if this is how it feels like you're living with an alien that's feeding on you and you have to fight it to the death to just live, mm-hmm. to just stay someplace nice. You know, like that you can, that you don't have to work yourself into the ground, you know, or multiple jobs to have. The mountain, which was a part of the season, it was totally about like, this is the site of my trauma. And so I have to go here and burn it to the ground and like a cleansing fire to move forward. But she was constantly being pulled back to and attached and could not essentially move forward from that place. And then if I think of like this play that I'm trying to get off the ground, that also has like the two places that you were speaking about, Brother Foolish. So like, you know, you have a medium, she's being haunted. So there is the other place that she can always visit all the time. And then there's her house, but it feels like it's a possession story, but through the lens of espiritistas, because I hate possession stories. And then I decided like, oh, I hate them because I'm a Judeo-Christian. So I'm going to write one that's not Judeo-Christian and then maybe I'll like it. so, you know, but it all takes place in an apartment. Like, it's like, here's where this is happening, this weird shit is going on, and we cannot leave until you go like in. And so it's like deeper into a place, deeper well, like you have access to other places and you need to go there and you need to be able to like move freely and stop acting like you can't do that, like, and all of that somehow ties to something ancestral. So yeah, I think I'm never not talking about land and place, which is kind of stunning.
When I think about like, because my book, the majority of it happens in one central place through Warrenton County, which is in the haunted fictional suburbs of Maryland. And I know a lot of people would probably say why, and I love that. Like, I love anyone who would be curious to wonder why I would choose this area, because this is home for me. I do actually live in Southern Maryland, and the answer to that is like complex, but a piece of it is, for me, once again, I keep drawing like this idea of land and place back to home. And I think about some of the scariest horror I experience are the ones that hit close to home, whether that's through like, you know, me saying it like, you know, real artsy, like I can, or like actual it like down the street from me. And I think about like the first time I watched the Blair Witch Project and my older brother just telling me this happened down the street, because, you know, we were in Maryland, and that making somehow scarier to me because of the sheer proximity of it all. Same difference with like The Exorcist, you know, like in the Georgetown Stairway to Heaven or Hell, depending on who you're asking, like that's like 20-30 minutes for me. And I think because so many of the horror movies I saw growing up weren't in this area, I kind of felt like, you know, like, it's cool. Yeah. I'm not going to ever hate on a movie because it's not down the street. But I have to admit, there's a certain level of, like, love and pride that blossoms in my heart when I see horror that is, like, close to my home. And it's even outside of horror, like when I found out Taraji P. Henson was from this area, or Toni Braxton. Like, it's something about when you see something that is, like, out there beyond your home, like, thriving and doing its own thing, it's a different type of feeling. And so, you know, Land and Place creates this opportunity, because of me putting it so close to home, for it to really hit your heart in a different way because of that proximity.
Can you say the title of your book again?
There's Something Wrong in Warrenton County.
Okay, yeah. Because it broke up a little bit. I just want to make sure people hear it. And I do think that there's something that speaks to, even if I'm not from Warrenton County, like, everybody understands, like, you are attached to this home. Like you're saying, like, Land and Place is home, and you are attached to home in a real way that's, like, people and also, like, location, locality, regionalism and all the things, and we enjoy, and so we understand why you would not leave, why you would not abandon it, why you're going to fight the monsters. And that kind of, like, stance really speaks to people, like, right, like, that's, like, Stranger Things happens in like the amount of, like, invented towns, and we become, like, diehard fans of this, like, invented ass town, right? Like, the Hellmouth is in Sunnydale, but, like, you know, and not even when it's horror, like, freaking Batman lives in Gotham. He could have just moved. Superman, you know, it's from Metropolis. So, like, I'm thinking of, like, you know, when Midnight Mass and this, like, weird remote, like, thing off of the island off the shore, like, somewhere, you know, we believe in, like, I think everybody feels that way, where even if it's not their home, those kinds of stories hit close to home, because it's like the scariest thing that could ever happen to you might happen to you in your house, is maybe a real fear that we all know. I don't know.
I feel like it's because the land or place, it definitely transcends the locale, like, 100%. Mm. Like, it could be somewhere like New Jersey, right? But if it feels like your home or your family, I think about, like, Hereditary in this. Like, if it feels very similar to something that you understand, then it's, you know, you're definitely right. Like, it's definitely, like, still hits close to home, even if it's not technically the same locale.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that you brought up Hereditary, because, like, I feel like part of the displacement that we see a lot of, especially when we're younger as horror fans, is because we don't get to see ourselves a lot. And so we come into the genre we love and we already feel off. And then Uncle Steven's letting loose with the N-words and we feel even further removed.
Or, you know, the amount of times I've seen things where it's like it was buried on an Indian burial ground. I'm like, oh.
Come on. It's the most disrespectful, because not only did you not even think to, like, have anybody who is Indigenous attached to this project, but you were like, not only will we just talk about you, we're gonna make sure that all of you are underneath the ground, which also is just, it's a really shady, disrespectful thing to be like, the only Indigenous people in this story are gonna be talked about by white people who are living on top of their bodies. I'm just like,
and that's why this thing is happening. And every single time, like, to go back to your whole, you always feel off, because I would be watching that and I would be pulled out, because I'm like, why don't they just leave? Or why did they build it on this thing? Why don't they stop building things on people's cemeteries? It's weird. And then I get into that for like 5 minutes, and then I've missed, like, whatever has been happening in the movie, because I'm too busy, like, why did you do that?
Same. And it feels like a holdover from, like, the Western days, where the Native Americans were always the enemy, even in death, in the Poltergeist of the enemy. And I'm like, no. Your ancestors took their land, and you are still profiting from this land. And you want me to believe I'm supposed to sympathize with you and your family?
Let's just tell a different story. Like, just don't make it be, like, on somebody's. Yeah. Just, like, it's fine. We can just not do that.
You know, it's interesting that y'all bring that up, because when I think about it, right, Land and Place, right? If you're coming from the colonizer perspective, then of course you would see it differently from the person who actually comes from there. And and you can tell when people are telling stories about like land or places that, you know, they don't consider home, because they do look at it as like this foreign, like, kind of thing.
Or as like a thing to be conquered. Yes. Like, I'm going to go in and I'm going to tame this land. And sometimes it is literal, like, I'm going to fight this disaster and tame this land. Or it's like the monster that must be defeated that is indigenous to this place. Like, you are coming in and you are defeating this monster, and you're taming this land. It has that, like, it has that Cortez energy. Has that Mayflower energy of like, we're gonna come here and tame the savages, yeah. You know,
big pilgrim energy that nobody yeah knows. Big
and then like and you doing so will make things right because it will make things safe.
Yeah, no, it's very much that. It's very much that, and I think that's part of the reason why so much of the older horror was never gonna age well. Mm. Because like, it does have that like dirty film of, this is our land now, and so we're always right. And it's like, are you not, Judy? or it has that, we're going in here to like tame these monsters, which is very missionary work. And it always sends me when I see like a group of white people go into a land that is not theirs to be like, this is the Lord you need to believe in, and this is why. No, those people believe in what they believe in, and it's been serving them however long they've been around. They don't need you coming in with your good word. Your words not doing us any good over here. What we can do anything over there. So just stop, think about it. But nobody does, because again, like, it is that colonizer energy of, I'm right, you're wrong, and you're welcome for my time.
And yeah, right. Well, I do think that like people have only recently started taking horror seriously. So okay. It's also been a genre where it's like, that's happened in it. And then there's also a bunch of other like experimenting, like someone was speaking earlier about like, you don't get to experiment. But this is a genre where people have been able to experiment, where people have been like found, you know, their tribe and have been able to like be outliers. It's outsider art. So I think that there has been some, you know, lots of storytelling that hasn't been the case, but no one, you know, they have to say like elevated horror when they want to take it seriously. They gotta put that word in front of it because it has this like film of like pop culture, like popcorn. It's the same thing I think people felt about comics before comic storytelling took over the yes. movies. Like, now it's like, good luck if you know, if you want to watch something that isn't about a comic book hero, you know. But it's that same thing where it's like, it's not high art.
It's that need to label things again and keep moving the goalpost to things that people want to be attached to. Because I think back to like when the Handmaid's Tale series was coming out, like all of the cast was like, it's not a feminist story, it's a humanist story. And I always wonder, is that because they really don't understand the work, or is it because they were afraid that if people saw feminist, they wouldn't watch it? Because
yeah, absolutely. Feminist is a dirty word.
Right? And I'm seeing the same thing, and I'm wondering the same thing with The Last of Us, which I love, but the creator's like, these are not zombies. And I'm like, but they are flower zombies. You know, you have fungus zombies, right? Because like
and also like, people are showing up for your fungus zombies, so lean in yeah. to the zombies, because it's not like The Walking Dead was not a successful show. Right? Like, give me right? a break. You can say zombies, it's okay.
And so I'm left wondering if this person really thinks that they did something original because they didn't like do the research or like look at the zombies and what they actually are and how they've evolved, or if they're just afraid people are going to be like, not zombies, and turn it off. Either way, I'm just like, if you do the thing and you get it made, say what it is. Don't be all like, oh no, these are not cool words right now, and I want people to see it.
I think a zombie was like a, but again, I think that goes back to like people not understanding like what a zombie is, which is really just a vessel for you to imprint like whatever you're actually really talking about. Like, the zombie genre was never about zombies from its inception. Like, I'm like, the first zombie movie, that Night of the Living Dead, is a political film. Like, that shit is about, that's just about segregation.
Yes. And racism. Yes.
That's what that movie is actually about. And then, you know, again, with more of Romero's work, you know, it's about consumerism. Like, all of these things were critiques. Yeah. The zombie was just like an excuse. And The Walking Dead is a Western about the yes. fall of capitalism. Like, yeah. It's like, horror. It's not about zombies. There's very few zombie movies that are actually yeah. about zombies.
Which is another reason why genres... Horror has always been elevated. It came in asking the important questions and wondering about dystopian universes. It was never just a quiet little rom-com in the corner that just wants people to like see George Clooney and Julia Roberts hold hands. It was never that. Like, yeah. Literally, Mary Shelley was like, what if man tried to create life? bad things happen. Boom.
It was a critique. It was, yes. It was her whole existence was a critique.
Exactly.
From the fact that she's a woman writing and publishing things in a time when like she was a piece, she's like on par with a piece of furniture. Okay. Like listen. You could have bought her for less than you could buy a horse. And this is the time that she was living in. And like, she's yeah. like, I'm going to critique like the fact that I am the one with the power of creation and you are not. Let's look and see what happens when you do it. And you're, and what are you? You're a terrible father.
Listen, and I live. And I think that is why I'm like, horror has always been elevated, but people didn't want it because it wasn't cool. It wasn't popular. It wasn't Americana. It didn't have Big Pilgrim energy. And so now we have these people out here playing around in our faces and like, well, this is a horror movie. I'm like, but is it? Because like, they're just like, we had a jump scare because the cat leaped out of a cabinet. But I'm like, but like, what else are we doing here? If you wanted to be a horror movie, where's the critique? What are we doing other than give me vibes? And again, I love that people get to experiment and play, but I do also, I hate that we have people who are trying to like be like, this is a horror movie and it's not, to get those horror dollars. And we have people who are making certain horror things and not wanting them to be those certain horror things because they're afraid of the labels. And it's just, it's so confusing and it's so frustrating. And I'm just like, just say what you're making so the right people will see it. Just do that.
If you can get it made. So, if you can get it made, right?
If I get anything I'm doing made, I'm telling people what the fuck it is. I'm going to be like, right? This is what it is. Please come see if you're into it. If you're not into it, please come see it anyways. I'm not going to be like, it's elevated horror. Yeah. I'm going to be like, she's going to beat him with a stick and we're all going to laugh. Cool? What?
Yeah. I'm also like, I don't write horror to be elevated. No. So like, I'll be the first one to be like, it's not elevated. I don't write, you know, like, that's not why I'm writing in this genre. If I wanted to do that, I would write drama. Or if I wanted to do that, I would make documentaries. Like, I write horror so that I can have somebody beat somebody with, you know, so that I can have that. Like, she beats him with a stick and that's what it's about. Or, like, they blow up the monster. Or this is about eggs that come to life and try to eat your face in the night. Like, I want to be able to be crass and base and ridiculous.
Listen,
about it. I dream of a world where it is like just as viable a genre as anything else, and people understand that it is a space where a lot can happen, both high and low, and all of that is necessary.
Yeah, no, because like I think that we are all too old to feel guilty about anything that pleases us. Like, life is so awful and life is so long, and you can find pleasure, by all means have it. And that's why I'm just like, I'm watching this garbage TV today and it's great. I turned my brain off and I'm getting drunk. Thank you. The circle.
People are so shameless these days that I'm like, whatever I'm ashamed of is nowhere near what this person is. Right? And that person is a congressman. So they've like set a new bar for like shame, like what I'm like, oh, my guilty pleasure is nothing compared to some of these folks. So I'm good. Y'all done set a new bar with y'all nuts, y'all craziness. We are at hour, guys. So I do want to get into our drabbles that were inspired by Land and Place.
So mine, where did it go? I know I had it open because that, there we go. It's Untitled Document. That's why I couldn't find it, because why would I name a thing that I didn't know what I was doing with? So yeah. It's the 4th of July and people are out in their best red, white, and blues. Kids are screaming, parents are drinking. The clearing looks like it hosted a frat party. As Connor flips some gross vegan patty for his new girlfriend, the ground rumbles. Few people barely acknowledge it, but Connor notices the trees are shaking even though there's no breeze or wind. From the trees emerge a creature of unspeakable beauty. She is Earth, she is Mother, and she is pissed. She steps into the clearing and emits a loud noise akin to a siren as the ground starts to suck people in where they stand. Screams are heard over the loud swuck, swuck, swuck of people being swallowed into the ground. The creature begins to laugh as she twirls. It's 132 words, but I did make myself stop.
I love it. I love it's maternal and it's pissed. And then she swallows things. Simple. Not elevated. She's mad. She's angry. She eats you. That's it. Hi, I was here for it. I'm here for it. It just made me think about carnivorous plants.
That's what I think it's going to be, because I just sat down and started doing stuff as I always have to do. And I'm like, but now where does it go when I explode it and open it up? What happens? Who is she? Mm. What else is she going to eat? And now I think I have to finish her, whatever she's going to be.
Mine, I don't even know what it is. Here, I'll read it. Every place is haunted, and this is why ghosts are real. It doesn't have to be magical or supernatural or otherworldly. Ghosts are of this world. We just don't know everything about this world. We don't know anything about this world, but I know it's haunted. This whole land is full of unfinished business. That's why things are like this. We just gotta do like the little white boy did for Bruce Willis, or how Whoopi did for Patrick. We just have to complete the task. See it through, one spirit at a time. I feel like this is like the opening monologue to like the medium who's the exit, like the Constantine part two or some shit like that. Like that's like the opening voiceover, and then she like opens the door and she's like, okay, and she just like is exercising the demons.
They're making a Conjuring TV show, so maybe that's part of your sample. What?
Yeah, like that's what it is. I'll say like Ryan had to step out, everybody, so that's why you're not hearing him, or Brother Ghoulish, I mean. Ryan/Brother Ghoulish. But just to circle back to something that he said earlier about Darkly. I was like, I remembered that, and I was very inspired to kind of started thinking about that, even though I haven't read that work yet, about the U.S. being haunted. So I was just kind of like, okay, I'm just going to sort of do this like opening, this kind of like monologue of just why ghosts are real and it's fine and it's not even a magical thing because of just how all of this started. So we're just going to have to take it one case at a time and like release, like do the task, you know, like whenever you see where the ghost comes, because they have unfinished business. And so we just got to finish their business. And then that's it. It's just going to take forever because there's so many. But that's what we have to do. And then it'll be fine.
I love that.
My two cents. That's what I think will bring about world peace. We're totally over. But thank you so much for this. I hope people enjoy the flash fiction frenzy that I'm doing this month, where it's just like different guests coming on. We're reading short, scary stories and talking about themes in the season. So you know, you're here doing them. You are kicking it off. Closing out season three. Thank you for tuning in. Support Spooky Black Chicks with a tax-deductible contribution through the link in the bio, or by leaving a rate and review. Tune in next week for another episode in our Flash Fiction Frenzy, with more new authors and new scary stories. Till next time.